Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Spirit Therapy. My name is Nicole Tomasini, and I will be your host. And I'm calling in from New York City, the bottom of the island. And I'm joined by my co-host and psychic, Diane Mallett, and she is in Boston, Massachusetts. So I'd like to begin once again with our moment of silence. And this is something that you can do at whenever you have 5 minutes or include it in your meditation, not only to build on your own psychic abilities and your own connectedness, but also helps to heal the planet that needs very much love and light right now. So today I'd like to focus on water, on the water of the planet, the water within all of us, the water that is in our oceans, that comes out of our faucets, all of the water, because water is a wonderful conductor of energy. And we've been having a lot of storms. India has a storm right near it, possibly may have hit already. So let's all take a moment and envelop ourselves in love and light, our light coming out of our chest, our solar plexus, and feel the warmth and the love and the energy of the universe that you are a big part of, and expand out that feeling and that light into all the waters. Thank the water for being here, for everything it does for us. We thank you, water, for being calm. Thank you for life. We thank you for taking care of us. Please be kind to all of us, animals and humans, as you go through your transition and as we all soon more love and light in our lives and on our planet. Okay. Thank you very much. And whether you're listening live or you're listening in the archive, if you do that in a few seconds or minutes, it really makes a huge difference with yourself and with the planet. So I thank you all for that. So we are continuing on with our developing of our psychic abilities. We had lots of callers last week and lots of great questions. So please feel free to call in. And you want to start, Diane? You have some really nice topics you wanted to talk about.
Well, I'd love to. Thanks, Nicole. It's really great to join everybody here this week. The first thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit before I get into my own story about how I found out that, you know, of my own psychic ability and my journey was this fantastic article I found written by a psychic named Hayden. He doesn't have a full name, but it was 7 basic psychic self-defense and energy protection techniques. And some of them were kind of new. And someone called in last week, and they were talking about fear and the energy of developing their psychic ability without fear and what we can do to protect ourselves. And so I was taking a look at this, and anything that is going to, you know, drain the life out of us, and that saying, drain the life out of us, is simply exactly what it is. We have our life source, and we're light and energy, and there are people that are attracted to us when we amplify our abilities of healing, of psychicness. They're drawn to our psychic vibration. So some of the things that we can start with is just before you get into developing your abilities, working on developing your defense techniques. And you talked a little bit about the white light, envisioning yourself in a white light. It's an amazing technique. Just picture yourself in the center of a light bulb or, you know, things like that. But just, you know, radiating white light from yourself. He also talks about a couple other things, blue light or blue shields. It's like a bubble that we can surround ourselves, and blue is a very healing energy for ourselves, and what it does is throws off negative energy. So if negative energy approaches us, the blue shield will throw that negative energy away. Another of the things that he is talks about is, which I find was kind of cool, is our physical body position. And I use this, and I think we do this on a subconscious level all the time. If you think about this, if you've encountered someone and you don't like their energy, you can cross your arms and cross your legs. And what you're doing is you're closing off the energy of that person to get into your chakras and your points. So it's a very protective measure for yourself.
Yeah, that definitely works. That's a great little trick. And also, if you can turn your head slightly too, you're not getting the head-on onslaught into the third eye. You know, I mean, the best thing to do is to cover your forehead as well, but people will notice that. So if you just sort of tilt your head to the side, you know, it's also helpful.
Absolutely. And he uses a technique of mirrors, four mirrors, or you know, another way to use the light and the reflective surfaces that face inward toward you instead of putting them around you. And the last couple ones were stuff that I use on a daily basis, and I absolutely incorporate them into my everyday life. The first is the use of salt. Salt is one of the best protection out there for anything. So you eat salt, you bathe in salt, you use salt. When I perform any kind of healing circles, I always have a glass of salt on the table. Salt also represents the energy of water, which made me think of that because we had a little moment of silence drawing in the energy of water, but salt comes from the sea, and the sea is our essence of life, and it's an extremely incredible protective energy, and you can sprinkle it anywhere. And if you're feeling threatened, you can sprinkle it around your home. You can, you know, just salt is great. Some other things you can do is protective symbols. Catholics and Christians alike are always using the sign of the cross. The pentagram is a sign of protection. There's just so many different symbols for protection. Even a horseshoe is lucky, and luck draws things like that. So, and then the last thing he mentions is prayer and affirmation. And that's one of these things that I use every single day as I invoke my angels and I ask, you know, my higher power to be with me along my journey to help with protection. So I found that, and I thought that was a really good way to start this look into developing your psychic abilities, but to remember that as we're doing it, we need to defend ourselves, because out there in the world, there is definitely good energy and bad energy, or negative energy and positive energy, evil energy, it just doesn't, what you label it is, but it's the yin and yang of the universe. And what you want to draw into yourself is, you know, you have to set the premise, you have to set the stage, so to speak, as to what you're going to draw into your life and how you're going to develop your abilities. So I saw that.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a pretty good thing.
Yeah, especially when a lot of our callers were asking about faith and fear. And so a great way to dispel the fear that we have about going too deep or contacting something that we don't want to is exactly these techniques. And I'll add a couple more. One you can do to protect your home is to have a very short mantra. For instance, this place is sacred and is guarded by seen and unseen energies. Only those who deserve to enter may, and only those that belong may stay. Something like that. And make up your own.
I like that. And patchouli oil, putting it on doorknobs actually helps too. To keep, just the right people from entering your lives. And so it's your home is your absolute most protected place ever. you know, you develop the energy there. And, you know, but when you're out amongst the living and the world and everything like that, there are ways that you don't have to be just bombarded by, you know, energy that's going to suck the life out of you. So
mm-hmm.
it
yeah.
definitely can do things.
As well as putting up your four corners. That's one that Gwen Barry, my co-host on the Consciousness Shift on Thursdays, she taught me about the four corners and what north, south, east, west, and then you can also do the fifth, which is spirit. And you can set whatever you like, guards. You can ask your angels to assemble themselves in the four corners. And I like to use it as an exercise for visualization also, with literally extending an energy line to all four corners of my house and then placing guards there and then filling it with love and light.
Mm-hmm.
And when if you do any one of these, you're going to be fine. There's so much protection and there's so much love and guidance that we have around us. Just a little bit of that focus makes a sacred space. And then you can go where you please. And it's very calming. That's exactly what we want to do when we're doing this psychic tapping in, is to be calm and filled with love. So
exactly. So I was going to talk a little bit, I guess, about how I figured out that I was psychic and what were the techniques that I used in my journey a little bit.
Nice.
And my psychic ability was something that I think I tapped into as a very young child. I would work in my garden and I would connect with fairies and I would connect with angels and I would always connect with spirit. So I knew as a young child I had a gift. I didn't know exactly what it was called and I didn't know what it was or that it was any different than anybody else. So that to me, as I grew up, I realized that not everybody necessarily has particular gifts. And there's all different kinds of gifts. There's the gift of clairvoyance, which is the ability to see the spirit. The clear audience, which is the gift of being able to hear the spirit. There's a gift of clear sentience, which is something that I think that I've always kind of felt this way, is that you actually can feel physical feelings and emotional feelings of other people. So I was a very, very sensitive child. And you'll see that as you notice children growing up, that they're much more sensitive to the world than adults are because they're kind of, you know, just feeling beings. Then there's clear reconnaissance when you actually, like, know information. And that's something I developed later on, something that I became confident in my abilities, was able to just know things. But that was with practice. It didn't come right away. So I would think that my journey started as a young child, and I was able to see these things. So basically, after the age of 8 or something, I would definitely have, you know, up until the age of 8, I would have these visits with angels and spirits and Mother Mary. They would come, and it was just a very comforting environment. When I got into my teenage years, I think that's when things become a little bit more confusing and your hormones go a little bit crazy, and I wasn't sure which direction I was heading in, and I picked up the tarot cards, and it was just, and it was a natural ability that I had. I was able to read the cards without any study. I could foresee what was going on, and I would read my friends, and I would develop my abilities that way.
How did you know that you were seeing it correctly? Like, what was the feeling?
It's an interesting thing because I think that when I look at a card, I just have a feeling that goes from my gut, it's like my solar plexus chakra, and into my heart and then into my throat chakra, and I'm able to know. It just activates all the principles in my body, and It's just a knowing. And what happened to me was at the time of being 16, 17, and 18, I was coming in contact with a bunch of people who were in this line of work. And I was able to get affirmations that I was psychic. Do you know what I mean? It was like I would sit with these people and I would read their fortunes and they would, you know, you're a very psychic type of person. But it's just interesting because I think just not thinking that I wouldn't be wrong helps me be more right. You know, it never occurred to me that I wouldn't be right about reading the cards. So I never doubted myself and I always was able to read them.
Nice. Yeah, the younger children have less self-doubt, I've noticed. So that makes sense.
Definitely self-doubt is, yeah, it's one of these things that if you're doubting yourself, you're not being psychic, you're not being intuitive. You know, it's interesting. Another thing that I did as a child, which is kind of interesting, is that I read a lot about this too. I was like fascinated with the witch trials of Salem. I live in this area. I visited the sites a million times. I knew what was going on. I knew the heritage. My family's history was one of witches and things like that. So it wasn't uncommon in my family to see miracles and see specialness and stuff like that. And I had an older sister who was kind of in it too. So like it was kind of in my realm. I was really fortunate to have this around me.
That's helpful for sure.
Yeah.
By the way, we have a caller.
Caller. Sure.
All right. So, area code 240, you are on the air and welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Great. What's your name?
My name is Lynette, and I'm calling from Maryland.
Hi, Lynette.
Cool.
Hi.
Tell us what's happening.
I'm sorry?
Tell us what's going on.
I guess I've been on my own spiritual journey. I don't want to say discovering my gifts. I believe I've had them all along, but now in my later years, I'm just coming into them. I've done a few readings on other people. I can read, I believe I can read cards. I think I'm pretty good at tarot cards and playing cards. I've gone to a couple of psychic development circles and channeling circles. But I'm really not struggling, but I would just like to know what is my strongest natural psychic ability so I can focus on that and then add the others, you know, as spirit gives them to me.
What do you think it is?
Awesome.
It is.
What do I think it is?
Yeah.
I think my strongest is clairvoyance. I have felt, I guess, I don't want to say ailments, but one time in the psychic development circle, a young lady had stated that she had someone with her that had head trauma, and then I started feeling it on the left side of my head. I picked up an older woman who was sitting in a wheelchair and had an oxygen mask on, and then my chest started hurting. And a young lady picked up that the lady had emphysema. So I think I have empath abilities as well. I hear things every now and again, and it's not, you know, big booming voices, like very light, soft whispers, but I don't hear that. I don't hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So yeah, you have a combination of all three, which is an interesting dance. I have the same thing. Some are stronger than others. Diane can definitely pull some cards if you both would like to. But before she does, I think that working, understanding all three of them, because if you're having all three of them, you're something of a multitasker in life as well. Like, you can process a lot of different conversations, right?
Right.
So learning to sort of let whichever one is prominent in this reading to come forward and trust it, even if it's the only one, it's really probably the only one that you need at this moment. And then you can always check in with the others. You can go, okay, well, I see this picture really strong. Do I hear anything? And the hearing, I think the most important thing to do with learning how to be clairaudient is to learn how to listen. Like, ask the question and then really don't try to answer it. Don't talk anymore. Just really being quiet and listening. And that takes a little bit of practice for sure.
Okay.
So I totally
agree with that. Listening is our greatest tool that any psychic has. In order for us to give a true reading, we have to look at the cards, and we have to feel the energy, but we have to listen to the message. It's Lynette, is it? I'm sorry. Could you say your name again?
Lynette.
I was thinking that you strike me more as clairsentience, somebody who definitely is in touch with the feeling, the empath and within you. The fact that you can definitely move into that hearing realm and stuff like that, that's something that will develop over the time. What happened to me is I started reading cards in a tea room, and I was reading them for a while, but part of what I had to do in order to work there was I had to read crystal ball and palm and tea leaves and things that I was not accustomed to at the time, but I learned how to do them by practice. So I would practice doing crystal ball, and I would practice doing palm reading, and I would practice doing psychometry. And what I would do was, say if I took someone's, I love doing this because it's really helps me develop my psychic ability, but I would hold someone's jewelry, whether it be a ring or a watch, and I would just focus. And it seems to me like you have a similar ability to what I can do, is that I can feel and just know what's going on with the person. The material of the jewelry or the watch or the necklace or whatnot helps you get focus. It's not so much that you need to touch that thing, but it gets you centered and it gets you focused, and you want to get on the same vibration as that person. So as you're approaching into a reading, Lynette, you want to distance yourself. What I find is I put myself at the same vibration as that person that I'm reading, and I feel as much as I can. And at that time, you can open yourself up to listen to any kind of audio that might be going on, anything that spirits might be saying. Sometimes I pick up on a name or a place or a word or something like that. Like, for instance, I was reading someone someday, and I felt like the name Christmas around them. I felt like this pain in my heart. I wasn't sure exactly where that was coming from, and I felt there was surgery. And so I mentioned it to the person, and it just so happened that they were just looking into having surgery done for her son, whose name was Chris. You know what I mean? So it was like I was tuning into this woman's energy, and I felt my heart, and I knew that there was something else about it. So it's the whole combination of getting on the same vibration as that person, using something to focus with. Now, you can use any materials that you want to focus. You can use your cards because you're really good at them, or you could use, like I said, like a piece of jewelry or something like that to help you focus. Or even, Nicole's a great palm reader. She actually really reads the palms. She knows how to read. I actually, when I do my palm readings, I do more of a feeling kind of focus. I'm more of a clairvoyant palm reader. And then I kind of go along with what I know is the basic lines of the poem. But I can tell you a lot of information about yourself because I know it and feel it. And I think that you have a similar ability to that. So I would just keep practicing. I think you really have gotten to a place where you're confident, and now you just need to develop by practicing. And I wouldn't be surprised that you become a very, very good reader, you know, just by some practice, you know. Keep with the cards and try other things. Just try other areas. Try tea leaves if you want to try something different. What I do when I do my tea leaves is I look in the cup with the tea leaves and I just clear my mind, and then I look and see what kind of picture develops in that cup. And it could be the tea leaves forming a picture, but it could also be something that comes into my mind at the same time.
Okay.
Does that
help? Yeah.
And one more thing, Lynette. Remember after every reading to cleanse yourself of the energy. This is a very important thing we all can do, because that just, you know, it's not your energy. So when it's done, release it. So there's different ways.
You have to disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
And there's different ways are jumping up and down and picturing the white light. I really like washing your hands under cold water and hand-to-hand going from your wrist out to your fingertips, and just push all that energy back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then you can jump and then free it, you know. And I'm sure,
okay.
I hope you know your own techniques as well.
Mm-hmm. I always do my readings also holding an amethyst in my left hand, because it helps the energy come in. So it helps guide the energy through me so I can do some readings. And it keeps me, because amethyst is a very psychic stone. So I like to do that as well.
Amethyst. That's the pretty purple.
Yeah.
The pretty purple one. I have a beautiful, very simple one that was like $5, but it's round. And what I do after I do a reading is I rub it between my hands. It's just this thing that I do, but it clears me a little bit. And because sometimes I'm doing one reading right after the next, and I don't want to, you'll know if you start to infuse your energy with other people. In fact, part of what I was going to talk about in my journey was I actually had to stop reading for a while because I got pregnant and I didn't want my energy mixing with other people. And I made a very conscious decision to keep my energy and not be expending it and opening it up to other people and then shutting it down and opening it and shutting it down. So there are times in your life that reading is going to be amazing, and then there's other times in your life where you're going to shut the door on it, but it's always accessible, always accessible.
Okay.
Cool. I hope we answered. Did we answer your question? I think so.
Yeah.
Nice.
You did.
Great, great. Well, thank you, and please feel free to call back and let us know how it's going.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Love and light.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Nice. So, yeah, that cleansing technique, and even after the day to do that as well, especially if you're working on your psychic abilities, you know, you're a little more open, a little more vulnerable, you're paying attention, so, and you're looking, you know, putting your feelers out, so you're feeling all kinds of things during your day. So to ground yourself in the morning and then cleanse yourself at night is only going to help your trust and your faith and the clarity of your reading will definitely increase.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
So that's your journey, Diane. Yeah, of getting to the psychicness. It's great.
Pretty much. I was able to talk to her about that. There were different times in my life that it was absolutely stronger than others, where I could see angels and do more work. But what happened to me was I did stop reading for about 11 years when I was raising my daughter. And I really just, it wasn't a hard stop. It was just I stopped. I knew at the time that was it. It wasn't where I was going in that direction and whatnot. What reinvigorated it was the seeing my daughter's own psychic ability, and I was able to teach her. So together we've reopened our journey and we're able to work together. She knows what herbs to mix and what, you know, potions to write up and what spells will work and what candles to light, and she's amazing. And it's really, it's given me a stronger intuition, a better, more grounded. I'm more grounded in my readings and more confident being a teacher and a psychic as well. So it's wonderful that, you know, I have the ability to work with her as a young person and teach her different ways. But working with others is such a key. I've taken a lot of classes on developing my psychic ability, which there's in your local community, there's plenty of classes. I've taken classes with different kinds of Native Americans to learn about shaman work and shaman journeys and reaching out to my, you know, animal spirit guides. And then I've done a lot of fairy work with my daughter, which is so much fun. You really do develop a lot of psychic. And then I have friends like you who are equally as in tune as I am. So it's just, you know, it's just, I think God puts the right people in your life to help you with your own psychic abilities, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's true. I'll share my story real quick for all the scientists out there. If you have a scientist brain, it'll probably appeal to you. So when I was 13, I decided that I wanted to be psychic, so I got a book called You Are Psychic. And it had different chapters on all the different possibilities of how your psychicness was going to unfold, such as reading auras, reading palms, tarot cards, and so on and so forth. So with each chapter, I would try it. I was so excited. So I would put my friends in front of a white ball and try to stare at them and see auras. And I probably was trying too hard, but it was too difficult. So I just moved on to the next thing. And I tried tarot cards. And, yeah, they were cool, but weren't really speaking. So I was like, okay, next. And then I found the palm reading. And the palm, with the lines, it's like it gives you certain things that lines do, certain shapes of the lines, and what those things meant. And so that really spoke to me. And so I would stare at my own hands. I would look at my parents' hands, and I would look at friends' hands. And then years later, when I went to acting school, I met all these new people who, of course, actors always want to know about themselves. So they were more than happy to be my subject. So I read all these poems and I told them, I'm not sure what I'm doing. Like, I kind of just sort of know this. And they were like, we don't care, just go. So when I was looking at the poem, I would get these flashes, like I would see scenes or places, and or I would get a feeling where I would hear a name, and it was all hit or miss in the beginning. But when I saw something, I saw it. And when I didn't see it, I wouldn't see anything. And that usually almost always happens when someone was like, I don't believe this. Go ahead. You're not going to see anything. And so I realized that I would tell people, listen, if you don't want me to see something or anything, or you're not going to open yourself up to me, I'm not going to see anything. I'm looking at a palm with a hand with lines on it. So that was an interesting thing, and I could always see the people that were closed off, as well as when somebody didn't want me to see something, I wouldn't see it. So that's an interesting, I felt good about that, because that was like a respect of not going too far into something. I was glad that was a fail-safe. So, and then I got interested in the runes. And then, you know, it just continued from there. But the moral of the story really is to just try things until something feels easy, or it's so much fun you're not even thinking about how psychic you are with it. You just like doing it. And that was the palm for me. And the runes I enjoyed, because as opposed to like the tarot, it's kind of, I think of it as the other side of the tarot. It's like just one symbol upside down or not. And they're more about an energy of where you are and basically where are you, why is this happening, what's causing this, and what's a good action to be taken. Like, that's how the runes work. So if that appeals to you, you'll know instantly whether that sounds good or not. Definitely delve into the runes and read up about the history of the runes. That's also helpful. They're Celtic, and you know, there's a whole story about a tree and a guy hanging from it and drawing the runes in the sand and drawing the runes. So that's it's got a different feeling to it. The runes, the palm, the tarot, whatever feels good working with crystals.
You know,
follow
what,
your
like
own guidance.
Recommend as well too when you're developing your journey, that one of the funnest parts about the tools and the instruments that we use to develop our psychic abilities are only stronger and easier to use when we make them ourselves. And I know I made a really great set of runes for you at one point, and they have great energy, and it was so much fun. I went out, I got birch wood, which is a very magical wood, but you don't get it from the tree. You wait until the birch tree actually drops it from its branches, because it's a special kind of tree, and you don't want to take from it, but you do want it, its magical energy around it. And then I burnt the symbols of the runes in it. And those runes are very powerful, because not only were they made by hand, but they were made as a gift. You know what I mean? So it was like really special. And I do the pendulum as one of the things that both my daughter and I are very good at, the pendulum. But I remember starting the pendulum when I was very, very little, when I just had a piece of string and I would put my ring on it. You don't need to go out and buy a pendulum for $60 at a unless you're drawn to it, you know. But you can just put something, or take your necklace, and you could use your necklace. It has your energy. It's something you love. And there'll be, I love going into bookstores and libraries with my pendulum and having my pendulum pick out books for me to learn about, you know, what's next in the psychic world that I could learn about.
Nice. Yeah, the pendulum is a cool thing. I mean, and it's funny, again, if it sounds like whatever, I don't know how I'm going to do that, then it's not the thing for you. But if it sounds interesting, it'll grab you. Pendulums, explain the pendulum, Diane.
I love the pendulum. I love working with the pendulum. What I have quite a few of them. And what I do is I hold it gently in my hand over my palm. I hold it in my right hand, and I ask the pendulum to show me yes. And it answers the question, show me yes. And typically it'll go back and forth towards myself when there's a positive yes in the realm. And then I ask it to stop. And then if it's a no answer, show me no, I will. It'll swing the other way, left to right. And what I also do with the pendulum, which is kind of like, I want to say it's kind of Ouija board-like, but I don't use the Ouija board because that can attract lots of interesting spirits that you're not necessarily not that I'm afraid of it, it's just that I don't
It's like a highway. It's like a highway for whoever and whatever.
Right. So it's something that I don't really recommend, but sometimes what I do when I'm really looking for an answer, because I know the pendulum is tuning into my higher self and it's getting energy from my higher self and my guardian angels, is I will draw out the alphabet in a dial on a piece of paper, A through Z, and the actual pendulum will go and spell out things for me. That's when you get your pendulum really working and your spirit guides working through you. Another tool just completely brings me into another great, great psychic development. Everyone talks about writing in journals and keeping a dream journal, but automatic writing is something that is similar to the pendulum in a way that, like, it's like taking that energy from your higher self, because you think about your chakras, like a lot of people think we just have the chakra up the tip of your head, but there's actually chakras that kind of extend way out to really connect you with your higher self. And if you think of everything bigger, that's what I do, and that's why I think I'm more in tune, is that I know from seeing angels that angels are as big as buildings. They're huge. They're not small. They have an insane presence. They are very, very large beings, and yet they can fit right in your home. So it's kind of interesting. But think big. I love going into churches and temples and things like that because I know the angels can fit there comfortably. When I think big and I think connected and I think that I'm coming from that and I think way from the heavens all the way down into the top of my forehead and into my third, and then I go into my arm and I ask a question, I write it on a piece of paper, like, how will I steer in this next opportunity? And then I just write. You'll get answers from your own psychic ability. It's a psychic answer. It's a connection with your higher self. It's a connection with your angels, and you'll see this stuff working for you like on an everyday basis. And to develop your psychic ability, it only takes a few minutes a day, but as you develop it, you'll see how you can fold it into your regular life. Just incorporate it right in. You know, if you're going to head out for the day, pick a card, see how it's going to go, and then at the end of the day, journal about it. You know, say you pick an animal spirit guide, you pull the spider, it says, trust the creative spark you have and that feeling and that story of, you know, creating a story. You come home, you write, hey, I pulled the spider card today. How did that fold into my day? Was the spider with me all day? Did I see any spiders today? Do you know what I mean? Like, see, look, mm-hmm. see, feel, sense. It's mm-hmm. about our senses. That's what psychic energy is about. It's tapping into that sixth sense. And it's exciting and it's fun. Make it fun and it'll be fun.
Yeah, and that's where it's the same place that songs come from. If you're a songwriter or any kind of creative writer, it's from the same place. Like, if you know how to write creatively, like, where do those ideas come from? You don't know. They just pop into your head. And then you follow mm-hmm. along with it, and it's got its own energy train, and it's just rolling, 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 you know, when it goes. I mean, it's funny. When I sit down to write a song, I'm like, all right, I'm going to write a song about this. It is a piece of crap. It is, right? But when I'm thinking about something, and I don't know why, and then I go, oh, that'd be a nice song, and then I start hearing two lines and a melody in my head. And once it happens a few times, I go, wait a minute, I think this is a song. And I'll write a great song in 10 minutes. Where did it come from? I don't know. It just showed up. Because in that moment, I was open to this thing. My brain was quiet enough. So I think anyone that's doing creative things can relate to that. And so if you can do the creative thing, then remote writing is a wonderful thing because you're also tapping into a different part of your brain. It's the creative, but it's also like taking down a message. It's definitely channeling from, and who cares really at the end of the day, if it's your higher self, if it's your spirit guides, if it's God through some filters, you know, whatever you want to think, it's all those. In my opinion, it's all of the above. So that's where the trust comes from. You know, where is this coming from? Well, any one of those is a good choice to me. I will listen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Listening is the key. Absolutely. And I do the same thing with drawing because I have an art background. So I draw pictures and the colors that I'm seeing, visualizations, that helps me with my psychic ability. I put things in my house that is going to enhance my psychic abilities. And one of the things I'm looking at right now, has nothing to do with writing or anything like this, but I have a big doorway. And fairies live in doorways, and the in-between is what we call it, the there's a veil of in-between, which is kind of interesting and fun, and knowing that they live there. And what I did is I put this beautiful wind chime with an amethyst hanging from it. So every single time someone comes into my house, they hit their head on this wind chime. And what it does is it brings all the fairies out to visit the visitor as well. And it's something I know they're doing, but they don't necessarily know that they're having this kind of interaction with my fairy friends. And it's hysterical. But I find amusement in, see, the thing about tapping into your psychic energy is joy. You want to bring joy into this. It's definitely fun. It's you want to live on a beautiful journey of knowing that there's something bigger and better, which is great. And then I was reading this other thing too here. Nicole, I do this all the time, and I learned how to do this a long time ago. I never really thought about this, was opening, because I was talking about going to the library, but opening to a passage of a book. How many times have you or any one of our listeners, like, you have a question and it's been like this burning question in your head, and you pick up a book and you open the passage and it's exactly what you needed to hear?
Yep.
That's psychic intuition. That's exactly psychic intuition. Don't, you know, I told you about my pumpkin recipe and how I was looking for a pumpkin recipe everywhere, and then I opened up this thing and it was like 50 pumpkin recipes for like a can of pumpkin stuff, and I of course I haven't made it yet, but I was looking for it and there it was. You know, use your psychic ability to answer the stuff that you need. So it's fun.
Yeah. Great story. Tell us a little bit more about the fairies. I know you wanted to talk about working with the fairies, because they're so much fun and they do bring so much joy.
They really do. Fairies has an energy that it's a very childlike energy, but tapping into our child energy is what's going to make you an incredible psychic, because when you're a child, you don't doubt. There's no doubt. There's no scared, you know, scariness, things like that. But fairies have a long, 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 long history of magic. And magic is a land or a place or a realm that we can tap into at any given time to kind of bring ourselves into a different state, a different land, a different visualization. And you can ask these fairies for help, and you can ask anything. Like, it's amazing, because I was looking at something the other day about dragons, which is similar to the energy of fairies. Anything from the mystical realm that you bring into your life is going to enhance your magic and enhance your psychic ability. Unicorns is a great example. So what we do around our house is that we have in any given room, you'll find pixie dust. It's stuff that you can get and on the internet, on psychic fairs, you can make your own. You can see, like, I have pictures of fairies in my house that, you know, in different rooms that just open up the energy that they know that they're welcome, that they're around. And you can do this with angels or anything like that. But I knew that I had a connection with the fairies from the time I was very, very little, because what I was looking at the other day, I was actually looking at this online, was the ability to draw and make a fairy door to put on your tree, or fairy house that you can build with your family or your friends or by yourself. So a lot of play with dolls and stuff at the very beginning of my life kind of enhanced this ability, but I kind of like always played around the root of a tree. And then you can see fairy circles around your house. Like, I'll get up and I'll see a fairy circle of where fairies were dancing the night before. So I just know that they're around, and knowing they're around makes me know that there's magic, which makes me know that this is like all real. It makes it all unfold in a very real way, and I can tap into any of their magic at any given time to make it work. And I think that people can do that too with like things that they find fun. Not all fairies are fun and playful. In fact, even our favorite fairy from Disney was a very evil fairy, and people don't realize that. Tinkerbell was known as a very mean fairy because she tried to kill Wendy because she was very jealous. So be careful of the energy that you're attracting. Like, know that they are mischievous and they're fun, and you know, and try to create like fun energy around them because they don't want to be dragged into a world that's repressed. That's not where they want to live. So if you can open your energy and do stuff like that and create love and light, you will find more fairies around. Put gnomes in your garden. Put a fairy in your garden. Put wind chimes up. I know it sounds kind of silly, but when you hear them, you'll know that there's fairies around. When, you know, when the bell rings, a fairy gets his wings or something like that. I don't know. Maybe an angel gets his wings or something. But these are the little things that we know from childhood. And all of the fairy tales, this is something that I'll just close on this, but fairy tales have been known to be true in a sense that every little bit about the magic in a fairy tale is passed on from word of mouth, from legends and legends and legends to be brought into our own life. And I was brought up on fairy tales. I have old ancient books of fairy tales that I read to my own daughter. And we incorporate this into our daily life, incorporating the magic in our everyday life. And that's part of what keeps me psychic.
Well, I just have to share with you, Supernatural Radio just chimed in, and thank you for listening. They just said, wow, this woman sounds so much like me. So... You've got a like-minded soul.
I love it. I love it. Just awakening your true self, you know. And we use the fairy cards. If they're a great deck, my daughter got them. I just love the energy of them. And, you know, and we also, you know, it's funny because I find myself more of a fairy person, but I can definitely see you, Nicole, as being more of a dragon type person. But maybe that has something to do with the fact that you're a fire sign and I'm a water sign. And the energy of the fire dragon, and this, and they're stronger, and they have a, you know, they could kick your ass, and that's if we could say that on the radio. You could tap into that mythical world.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, the fairies show up because I have a blue sunroom. And they and everything grows there, and I think it's because of the fairies that are there. Oh my God, it's funny. Supernatural Radio says, "Are you an Aquarian?" Close. She's a Pisces, but you're a Cusper, aren't you, Diane?
I was born on the 19th of February. I'm definitely a Pisces, but right on the cusp of Aquarian. I spent a decade thinking I was an Aquarian, but it never fit. It was like putting on a pair of jeans that are too small. I wanted them to fit really bad. Because Aquarians are really smart. that's got to be me. But instead, I was a flaky Pisces, and it just makes sense the more I, you know.
Well, Supernatural Radio is February 15th with a lot of Pisces moons.
Well, your Pisces, your moon is definitely going to determine how psychic you are. Trust me. And your Mercury, where your Mercury falls. My Mercury is in Pisces. So I have a Pisces sun sign, and I have a Pisces Mercury, which is the actual planet of communications. So what makes me psychic is my astrological imprint that shows to the world that I'm a psychic. Like, I was born under a psychic sign, I have psychic ability, and I have a psychic Mercury, which allows me to communicate to the psychic realm. But having a psychic Pisces moon, it absolutely makes this person that's chiming in 100% psychic, and she should definitely, or he could work on that.
They say, but I'm not psychic at all. Yeah, right.
supernatural radio. I don't believe that one bit. Oh, that's funny. Well, you know, it's funny. I was thinking today about astrology, and I was going to talk about it to develop your psychic abilities. So I think we'll do that next week. And then this conversation just segues right into it. So,
oh, absolutely.
So
I love astrology.
Yeah, and I think it's a great way to understand, like, where you're coming from. And then just like our caller, Jeanette, Lynette, you know, you can start to pull your sails in the right direction when you know which kinds of energies you're working with, you know, to be able to read your own chart. So the Supernatural Radio says is laughing and says, believe it. Yeah, all right, we'll see. But and they're looking forward to listening in next week. That's wonderful. Welcome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, and look up my email, if you would, and send me a link to your show, if you would, because I imagine that you are also a radio show. So I love to see what our others are doing. So so we're at the top of the hour. And this is great, Di. We'll continue on next week and share with the peoples. And thank you all so much for calling in. We love hearing what's going on with our fellow humans. Anything you want to add, Di?
No, I just had a great show tonight. It was really fun, like it is always on Spirit Therapy with Nicole. I love it. It's a great time. Nicole, it's on the blog. I just had a question. Is when people look at this, can they have your email address? Is that right? They could send you questions, because I'd be happy to answer questions to you throughout the week. So if anybody had a question they could answer, we could do that as well. I don't know if we're set up to do that. But
absolutely. If you scroll down when you're on the show page, either in the archives, I mean, if you're on it, you probably can have this. Just make it big. And then scroll down, and at the bottom is my nicole.tomasini@gmail.com. And, yes, send me any questions or anything you would like us to talk about, or hey, and tell us what you're up to. That'd be great.
Yep, love some feedback. I love our listeners, and I love when people call in, and I would be happy to pick a card for them and do a quick reading. I've had a great time. Thanks.
Great. Awesome. All right. I'm going to play us out with somewhat oldie, but she was saying the right words all along. Tracy Chapman, Heaven's Here on Earth. Peace and love to all of you beautiful spirits. Good night.
Heaven's here.
Good night. See you next week. Peace and love. Always.